This is the 1895 Podcast, official podcast of Shelburne FC, bringing you news, views and interviews from inside Tolka Park, Dublin's finest since 1895. Here's your host, Stephen Duty.
Hello, we are officially back and we finally have some actual real football to talk about. The boot is the same as last week. I'm not doing fancy intros anymore. Hello, Darren.
Hello, Duty.
And hola, Ben.
Hello, Duty. How are you?
I'm absolutely great. I'm great. You're great as well. I can hear it in your voice. Dazzler, how are you today?
I'm wonderful. Full of the joys of it. Glad that the season's back up and running. Glad Will Jarvis is here.
Oh, jeez.
We haven't mentioned that yet.
No.
Only took us 35 seconds. You had to wait another one. You could have got his jersey number.
Well, also, if we had waited a couple of extra hours to record the pod last week, we would have been able to talk about it then. But Dazzler, all happened quite quickly. Bit of a whirlwind by all accounts. Tell us kind of how it panned out.
It was a whirlwind, Duty, for very, very good listeners of the pod.
Oh, yeah.
They would have noticed a hint at the very end of the pod that said tomorrow is going to be a great day. And turned out to be a very great day. Look, it was obviously in the works for a while. Massive credit to Lukey, Joey, Neil, Tomás Quinn, everyone who would have been involved in getting that deal over the line and getting Jarvis back to Dublin. But when the confirmation came through, I was very, 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 very happy.
And I'll be very honest. Were you the Vince McMahon meme?
I was probably the fourth slide of a Vince McMahon meme where he falls off the chair. I was just absolutely thrilled. But then anyone who's been involved in announcing a signing, Ben, you'll know this, the terror of fucking announce it before someone gets a whiff of it and it leaks and you're up against it. And obviously, as has been reported, there are other clubs who would have been vying for Will Jarvis's signature. And as soon as they're told, I'm not going to you, they'll probably do whatever they can to tell their journal mates and spoil the surprise. So you have a minute of delight and joy and relief and then an hour of terror of we have to write something, we have to get graphics, we have to get photos. Does anyone know where the fuck Will Jarvis is in the world so we can get a quote?
Did Will Jarvis know where Will Jarvis was?
Poor Will Jarvis was in the process of packing up his possessions to fly over to Dublin and I feel bad for Will Jarvis because I subsequently found out that he thought I was just ringing for a chat. And it was an interview. So sorry about that, Will. He was surprised then when there was a big long quote attributed to him in the press release because he said, I don't remember doing a quote.
Ben, I can't remember signing kind of getting so many people so excited. It was quite the social media reaction, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think everyone was really, really happy with it. Obviously, like he made such a positive impact here. Everyone was really sad to see him go. Obviously, the circumstances of how he leaves felt like he was just kind of plucked from us. And I think everyone has wanted him back, ourselves included. So to get it over the line, like a player of that quality coming in, like you talk about your game changers, your players to get you off your seat. That's exactly what he is. And you see in the cameo on Friday, the kind of quality he has where he just stands there and he can stand on the ball for a second and then kind of make something happen. Like, that's something I'm excited to see again.
We'll get to Friday shortly, but
we talk about Will Jarvis for a little bit longer.
Well, I was about to ask you something else kind of on my head because you cut across me.
Sorry, I was going to say, Will Jarvis makes grown men act like the jilted ex-lover, like you're just this obsessed fella who the girl dumped you and you just can't let it go and you just really hope that someday they'll get back with you.
It was a wild reaction, but the real question I have for you is, can we just sign Wezzo now, just even for a day, so that every like sign and tease or every post that goes on social media, usually somebody replies underneath to it, announce Will Jarvis or announce Wezzo. So can we just even just get them on the books just for a day and we can finally put all that stuff to bed.
Yeah, social media. You should need a license for it.
What are people going to do? Our interactions are going to go way down now that people can't say announce Will Jarvis anymore.
They'll come up with something. They will.
Phil Jarvis.
Yeah.
This is a true story. I once asked Luke Byrne not too long ago, can we announce that we're not signing Will Jarvis because it'll make my life a lot easier because I don't have to read all these saps writing announce Will Jarvis every week. And he was like, no, maybe we won't. And that probably should have been my hint. That should have tipped me off. But yeah, still surprised. Amazing. Surprised.
One of my favourite parts of the Jarvis re-signing was the social media interactions of people who, obviously the club shop post went up about, you know, doing the prints for the back of the jerseys and we're now printing legends on the backs of jerseys. There was a Luke Byrne one and there was a Will Jarvis one. And I have to be honest, when I seen it first, I went, geez, it's a bit of a stretch to call Will Jarvis a club legend. Like, I think of about 20 names could probably go ahead of him. And then it became this thing online where people were saying, you're an idiot if you think they're trying to send you some kind of message. And then there was also the other side of people going, oh, is that a hint? Like, what's going on? Dazzler, who came up with that idea? Because I enjoyed it. It messed up my brain an awful lot.
Oh, full credit. I don't know if the person who came up with it would like me giving the credit because he tends to fly under the radar and almost gives out to you if you give him credit. But that was all Neil Doyle. It was his work and it was a masterstroke because it was complete and utter mindfuck of what's going on here. Like, people were full on convinced we're signing them, but then getting angry at themselves for getting excited. I mean, like, don't be such an idiot. Of course we're not. The mental gymnastics was amazing. But no, that was all Neil, and then Kieran and the shop printed up the jerseys. And it makes the social job an awful lot easier when the owner does it.
Good time had by all. Right, let's get to Friday. A 1-1 draw. We took the lead through a cheeky Juan Martin finish. Unfortunately, we can see the set piece, a little bit of rinse repeat stuff about from last year. But Ben, overall, what was the overriding emotion after the game?
A bit disappointed. I definitely felt like it was 2-point dropped. For me, like, it just another, best way to put it, probably poxy goal, because that's what it was. And you just kind of, especially after the first half, I thought, like, we really kind of blew them away in the first half. We were really good attacking them, like the little, like, pockets on the wing, the crosses into the box. Like, we battered them, and I just thought another goal was coming. I feel like if there was another goal there in the first half, we probably would have seen the game out. But look, such is life. A 1-1 draw to start the season in Waterford. Been good before.
Yeah, people were quick to point out as well, there's other omens there. The last time we won the league, of course, we did start with a draw in Waterford. It did lash out of heavens in Waterford. And Rovers' first game of the season was also called off. So, I mean, I'll leave that with people. Let people sit on that. Dazzler, starting 11-1, any surprises in there for you? Any eyebrow raisers?
I've never wanted people who predict starting 11s because I just think it's a bit of a fool's
errand. Because it's stupid, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you, even if you get it right, you're probably going to get it wrong. So, no, there probably wasn't any massive surprises. It was good that we had more depth than I thought we would. I thought we'd have a few more, like, players not involved. I think the only people that weren't involved were Chuck, who was out running, which is positive. He's obviously had an operation, but seems in good shape and on the way back in full training. JJ Lunny wasn't involved. And was there someone else not involved?
Ellis Chapman and Tyreek. Ellis Chapman
and Tyreek. Yeah. So for the most part, like, we had a pretty full squad. Like, it makes sense not to drag those lads down to the first game of the season if they're not going to be involved. But, like, yeah, I thought we did well. Like, I think the frustrating part will be the manner of the goal we conceded and just the amount of half chances we coughed up. Like, I don't doubt in 2 months' time when Kerr McEnroy slaps that, it'll go in. It's just so early in the season, first game of the season, maybe the confidence isn't there or the sharpness isn't there to smash that effort in. Similar enough with Jarvis, like, when he bent back and thought he was going to curl it into the top left-hand corner, I think we all lost our marbles for a moment. And I think at some stage, very, very soon, the next time he tries that, it will curl into the top corner. So, like, I'm glad that there wasn't the same reaction to a few years ago. Like, I don't know why. I've never remembered a draw as much as that one, but there was such a visceral reaction to drawing 1-1 in Waterford the first time 2 years ago, the year we won the league. It was like complete and utter panic stations. People were calling for the crucifixion of Sean Boyd.
Yeah, they wanted to throw rotten fruit at him in there.
Yeah, through the town like Frankenstein's monster.
That was one of the craziest reactions to a football game I can remember. And we've had some pretty crazy reactions to games here, but that one in particular was pretty wild.
I'll never forget it. Like, it's just, it didn't make any sense. And you're wondering, like, that was the time where I'm like, actually, am I the problem? Am I just too close to this that I don't, maybe I'm just like, no, it's grand. We've drawn 1-1. It's fine. But I was like, no, some people are just absolutely mental.
Yeah, that was the first time I ever thought, am I becoming that person I don't want to be, where I start say like pretending that the players can do no wrong? I was kind of going, oh, am I that person? But look, it all worked out all right in the end. Ben, just in terms of kind of the way we played, are the Reds becoming a crossing team? Because we would have seen for the first half of last year, a lot of, you know, recycle it, play back around. We're not going to put the ball at risk. You know, we're not going to play the percentages. We're going to fucking be a little bit more careful with the ball. An awful lot of crosses into the box Friday. Is that a sign of things to come, do you think?
I don't know if it's a sign of things to come, but if it is, I'd welcome it. I thought we looked really sharp and we did work it down the wings and got the ball in. Like, either something happens there where someone gets their head on it, like you have Meepo there, like, who's pretty decent in the box. John Martin can sniff out a half chance on a second ball. So I think it worked really well in our favour against Waterford. If it is a sign of things to come, though, I like it. I back it. Be very direct.
Yeah, I think our big problem, our delivery wasn't really great in general on Friday. Milan struggled. Didn't have a great game, I didn't think. Like that, the level of crossing wasn't quite up to scratch. But look, it's the first game of the season. We won't be panicking. But as you say, we do have bodies in there that, like, more crosses into the box. You know, likes of Meepo, John Martin. You're obviously going to have Boydie sniffing around in there. Mr. Freitas, who came on for a bit of a cameo, looked quite lively, looked busy. I'm the same. I welcome it. More balls into the box, please, for me. Dazzler performers.
It's awkward though, isn't it? Like, it's just awkward to deal with for opposition. Like, it's hard to play against. You never want to have, like, as you said, a Sean Boyd or a John Martin just bashing up against you trying to win a header.
And it's something that I think everyone who filled those attacking roles is very, very good at. Like, with their back to goal on Friday, I think we played some really good stuff, especially in that first half. We kind of had a bit of everything. John and Meepo were great, kind of dropping in, getting it, dropping it off. Meepo was making an awful lot of runs in behind, kind of down the channels, which at times I don't think we found them enough, didn't give them enough service. But, like, I've watched the game back a couple of times. We did play well. Like, as I say, some really good moves. There was one that ended in a shot for Kerr in the first half on the edge of the box. Great moves. Like, simple stuff, just 2-3-touch football. What we want to see. But what I like about this group at the minute, it looks like we can do a bit of everything. We can latch it into the box if we have to. We can play, be patient with the likes of Jack Henry, Francis and Kerr sitting there. They're well able to pick a pass from deep, or they can play more advanced. Dazzler, Kerr McEnroy, right? He's one of these fellas that he didn't really stand out as such on Friday. He has games when he, like, controls the whole thing. Didn't stand out as much with the ball on Friday, I didn't think, but without the ball, the amount of little nicks he gets and the amount of, like, possession he wins back, he kind of can do everything, can't he? Is he the most probably well-rounded midfielder we have?
I think he's most technically underrated. Like when people talk about Kerr, there's a few attributes you list before you say technical ability, but on the ball, he's absolutely brilliant. Like, he just, his speed of thought, he seems like he's just a half second ahead of everyone around him. I think him and probably Jack Henry Francis are the only two in the squad that you'd say has that. Like, they just, their anticipation, I don't know if that's how you describe it, but they almost are thinking about the next thing they'll do while they're doing the thing they're doing at the moment. And it's a very underrated attribute. Like, they'll also run all day for you. I think Kerr is probably, like, if we can keep him over the next few years, like, he's one that you would absolutely describe as a Shells legend, because he has everything. Like, there's been players over the years that when they're not good but they try really hard, you really like them. And there's been players that have been really good but maybe sometimes they don't really bother their holes, and you like them as well because there's a bit of flash. Like, Jarvis would probably be one of those players that, like, you love, even though there's times where he just might track back. Always think of the game in Pats where he scored both goals and then just didn't bother tracking his man for the one day he got back. So, like, but Kerr's like the middle of that, where he's hard work and do the dog work, but also will get you off your seat with either a tackle or an unbelievable pass or a screamer. Like, he actually has everything in his locker. He has all the attributes. He can do everything.
Ben, did we struggle at times to create kind of clear-cut chances? Were we relying on maybe, you know, ball, like, you look at the goal. The goal was like ball into the box. It's just bouncing everywhere. It falls to John Martin's feet. Sniffs out the chance, sticks it in the corner. Can't remember too many like clear-cut chances where you're saying, oh, we should have scored that one. Would that be a slight concern from the first game?
I don't think so. I think it's the first game of the season. You come in against fairly new team in terms of the bodies they have around. Like, they've recruited pretty well, new manager in. Like, you do have to remember they're sitting in that low block and they're just kind of inviting that on a lot of the time, so you're going to struggle to break that down and create those kind of clear-cut chances. But I think, like, there's one or two chances you can remember. Obviously, you mentioned the Kerr McEnroy chance. There's a few things where it's like, on another day that goes in and we don't talk about this game anymore.
True, yeah. I don't really think they're up to a whole lot, but
apart from the goal, like, Wes didn't have too much to do.
No, I actually have him written down here. He made two saves in the last 10 minutes, two really good saves. He makes one right at the end, but that was all he really had to do. Like, we didn't give up a whole lot at all. That was probably my favourite bit of the performance. We were so solid defensively, I thought. We won an awful lot of ball in the air. Like, we're winning little tackles. We're not really giving up much. And probably the main character and all that on Friday was probably Aaron Casey. Ben, the art of defending. It's very simple, but Aaron Casey makes it look very, very easy, doesn't he?
Yeah, it's just, there's one time where they tried to play it down his side and he just plucks it out and starts walking on and you're like, my God. It's like he's reinvented the wheel there. It just looks so good. He looked really calm. Like, you have to remember, that's his debut in the league and they're a really physical side. Like, they're always going to go at him, but I thought he looked really good on the ball, really good carrying the ball forward. But defensively, as you said, a sight for sore eyes.
Daz, they're coming in just on Casey, like, signing here, a lot of fanfare around them. There's an awful lot of supporters from up there, you know, wishing him well, but gutted to lose him, saying, you know, he's going to tear it up in that league. Is there a concern in the levels coming down here compared to playing up north, do you think? Or are those kind of basic defending things that he seems to be very, very good at? Are they just across the board?
You'd be right in saying the level up there isn't as good as the level down here, but that's not to say there's not players up there that would be well capable of the level down here. It's the same way, like, you know, a player moves from here and it could be League One or Championship level. Like, it's sometimes you have players playing who are in a league that are better than the whole league combined. I think Casey and probably Jack Henry Francis are two of them. I keep mentioning him. But I was definitely bought into that of, look, he's coming from a league that's not as strong as ours. He's coming from an environment where he's probably not used to playing against the type of quality strikers we have. Really good, really kind of big brutes, hard to manage. Podge Hammond is one of them. Very technically good, very good movement, but he's a big, strong, imposing fella. I was a little bit concerned about, like, you know, will it take him two or three games to get to the level to adjust to it? But he looked like Gav Malloy. He looked like Paddy Barrett. He looked like any centre half that's fitted in there and was completely calm from start to finish. And I can't think of a brain fart or massive mistake he made. So I think any fear that the level he was playing at would hamper him when he came down, he's gone a good way to knocking that out of the park and dismantling that.
I put it to the good Shelburne people after the game, just for opinions. I like getting that instant reaction because I think some people kind of lose their mind and then an awful lot of times they'll sheepishly come back upon reflection and maybe say, maybe I jumped the gun with that one a little bit. Shane said, a solid performance with missed opportunities. We will need goals on to next week. Dean McDermott said, we need to take our chances. Any questions to five at the back? I don't know. I disagree with that one, Ben, because like it's a five.
When, was your best cross for the ball the last day?
Yeah, and like it's a five when it needs to be a five, but it's also five,
yeah. It's not. I think it's very simple to call it a five at the back, and that's no slight on anyone's understanding of it. I'm not saying I understand it more than anyone else, but it's very dynamic in what it can give you. You can go into that box midfield. You can play wide. You can go two up top. Like there's so much versatility in how we attack. It just so happens that the defensive shape, there's five that sit.
Yeah, I like the way we set up because you have so much freedom in what you can do. Like it can flip to a four, you can just have like that tree and send the two wing backs really high, which I think that's where Jarvis will fit in. Be in those games where maybe we're expected to dominate teams. Like you don't have to have wing backs as such. They can just play as wingers in games like that, really, because you've more than enough kind of going the other way to cover you.
And if that happens, just one of your more defensive midfielders can just tuck in if the wingers play a bit higher. Like that's the beauty of the system. There is so much versatility in what you can do during a game depending on the opposition.
Caden Ronan said, Rodrigo Freitas, the fastest man on earth. Joe felt too similar to last season, definitely dropped points. Daz, decent point.
Joey O'Brien, because he said the very same thing. Like, you're allowed to think we drop points and be pissed off. Joey was quite pissed off, I thought, as well, after the game, and rightly so, because it was 2 points dropped. You're allowed to think it wasn't a complete level five disaster zone, and also,
We don't like level headed opinions here.
Sorry, dude.
We like one extreme or the other, please, if you don't mind.
We're either shite or the best.
Yeah, exactly. No, we'll go to that. Now that you've mentioned it, Dazzler, about Joey's reaction, and Ben, you obviously interviewed Paddy after the game. Like, there was a real anger in the two of them, wasn't there? Like, there was no sense of looks the first game. Happy to get the point down the road or on the board. Nothing like that. They both genuinely seemed really pissed off that we didn't win the game.
Yeah, definitely. Like the reaction was very much a 2 points dropped here. I spoke to Paddy after the game. He wasn't hiding from it. He just said, no, not good enough in aspects. Needs to get better. Those kind of goals, set pieces, we've looked at them. Like, we've constantly looked at them. They need to stop. And, like, they took ownership of it and said, no, look, we're going for the league here. Like, that's your bread and butter.
Maggot also said, first game, I know, but expected more from the new signings.
The first game you expected them.
Right, that's it. Will Jarvis, go back where you came from. You didn't score a hat-trick. Rodrigo, first playing to Portugal, pal. Like, I mean, I thought the new signings that have been here the longest, as in you have your Casey, your obviously Spiel isn't a new signing, but I thought they acquitted themselves really well because they've been in the door longer. They've had more time on the grass, more time with the team. No, am I that a bit of a rogue show?
No, I would also point out that the lads that came on, so you'd obviously Mael, I suppose we'll count Jarvo as one, and Freitas. Like, Freitas came on at 66 minutes. Lundgren came on for the last 10, and Jarvo came on at 66 as well. Like, it's not an awful lot of time.
But you're not players who've experienced the league before.
That's what I mean. Like, you're not going to
compared to an actual competitive game in the league, yeah. especially against them. They're just like, they're just out there to bash into people.
I would also not lose my mind if Jarvo looks a little bit not like the Jarvis that left in the next few weeks, because he hasn't played a lot of football. It might just take him a few weeks to get into the swing of things. Now, having said that, he could go out and score a brace on Friday. I don't know, but I think patience is important with new signings. Just relax. Nobody panic would be my biggest thing. There was quite a lot of Meepo grief as well. I reached out to Twitter as well, which can always be a very dodgy game, because in general, my followers on Instagram that I have are all Shells people. So you're not getting many people from outside of the Reds coming on, offering their opinion. When you start dipping your toe into Twitter or X, it's a different ballgame altogether. So X a little bit more negative, we can say. Jerry said, very disappointing. Didn't create many clear-cut chances. I conceded a soft goal. So the exact same as what cost us last season. Aaron, 2 points left behind. Should have been
finished outside. Third last season. Like, we had a good season last season. Like, our manager left, like, overnight on the 23rd of June. Left 2 weeks before, 3 weeks before the biggest game in the history of the club. We qualified for the group stage of a European competition. Like, we finished third, despite the fact our league form at the time said we might be lucky to finish fifth. Like, people have, they're, that's demented.
You've had a flying start here, Daz. Can I just say?
I'm sorry, but like last year, that's what cost us last year. We won the league a year ahead of where we really should win the league. We should, you look at the squad we have now, I tell you, it's an awful lot fucking stronger than the squad we won the league with, if we're being very honest with ourselves. Like, I don't think any other manager in the country or any other staff in the country wins the league with that 2024 group. I can't understand. Like, if you overachieve 1 year, then achieve probably what you should achieve the next year, and then it's viewed as a disaster. It's like, tell me you don't understand anything without telling me you don't understand anything.
Yeah, it'd be like people expecting Drogheda to qualify for Europe this year after the season they've had. Like, it's not, you know, like, you can't really say last year was a disaster when really we had no right to do what we did, considering the hand grenade that was dropped into the group halfway through. So Brian said, better not be the story of the season again. We need to be better at creating chances, players getting in each other's space at times, and both strikers attacking the same post on crosses. Kieran Dyne, all about Groundhog Day, completely dominant and in control for pretty much the entire game, but we can't be posting these numbers and not winning. The numbers he's talking about, 67% possession, an XG of 1.46, 24 shots, oh, 5 on target. Ah, fuck off. XG. I get where people are coming from. Rob Lenihan, good first half, poor second half. It was the first game, just take it and move on. Most of it is kind of similar to that vein. Robbie Farrell said two bad 10-minute spells in each half cost us a win. Other than that, we are completely in control, and a competitive game like that will stand us well going into the Rovers game. And then there's loads of Meepo bashing, basically. John Coleman said, we never look like scoring, opting for a slow build-up, then acting way too casual and relaxed. We've no ideas. When there's a break on, Meepo has no clue where to go or what the plan is. That's likely not his fault, but it's just pure luck or a brilliant individual moment if we ever score. Right. I'm going to take the Meepo stuff here, because I just think, I don't understand, and maybe one of yous can like put a bit of sense into this. Why is he the scapegoat all the time? Can anyone tell me?
Because he's your striker.
If we don't win a game straight away, Meepo, he's miles off it, not good enough. And I heard secondhand stories, he's getting a bit of stick from the stands and stuff like that. And we obviously don't hear that because we're over the opposite side. But like, are we really going to pin a 1-1 draw away in the first half of the season on a striker who actually played very well?
We did it in 2024 and Sean Boyd scored. And they still wanted him.
I just don't get it. Why? Like, go back and actually watch the game, because the game you watch on a Friday live with your two eyes is never the same when you look at it a second time. Even just flick through it really quickly. And if you think Meepo has been shit in that game, go back, watch it on 2.5 speed or something, just to give yourself a rough idea. He held the ball up really well. Had a couple of little half chances that he snatched at. That happens. On another day, a couple of them can fly in. He was good in the air. He worked hard. He's shutting off little spaces. And last year, when Meepo scored, we always picked up points. So the goals that he scored last year were always important. Like, they always came to something. It always resulted in either one or three. He was integral to a lot of the good stuff we did. In Europe, he was very effective, running channels, running in behind. He was excellent. Like, I must be missing something. And maybe it's quite possible I am missing something. But if you take Meepo's 8 goals that he scored in the league last year, and I think he got 3 or 4 assists to boot, we don't qualify for Europe. There's absolutely no chance that happens. And I don't know whether there's a bit of bitterness because there was talk he was meant to leave and he's still here. But I'd have an awful lot of respect for him, because if the reports are true that, you know, he was gone, he had basically said his goodbyes, and then he rocks back into a dressing room, comes out and starts later on in the week, and has a good game. Like, what? What am I missing? Well,
I don't know. He's mad as hell, and he's not going to take it anymore.
No, like, I don't know.
No, you're right.
Look, Meepo has his moments, don't get me wrong, where you're looking at him going, oh, come on, what are you doing? So does everyone. Like, John Martin does some mad shit in games where he'll run in and hack somebody out of it.
John, what are you doing? Has never got the same stick Meepo's got.
No.
Look, there probably is something that we're all dancing around. There's an element of criticism for Meepo that feels OTT and overly personal. And I don't really get it. I don't really understand it. I can't get logically why it would happen, because it is above a player who maybe hasn't had a brilliant performance. For what it's worth, I thought he had a decent game, same as yourself. I thought in Celje and Alkmaar, the games before that, competitive games, like, he's the best player on the pitch in Celje.
100%. And I don't know whether a bit of it is he sometimes looks a bit sulky, and he's kind of, like, if a ball goes out of play and we're recovering, getting back into a shape, John Martin will run. Meepo will walk, but once he's there, by the time the ball comes back into play, who cares? And I don't know whether it's because he had been to a few clubs before he came here, and people had this preconceived thing of, oh, this lad's obviously a bit of a Charlie if he's ended up here from where he was before. But you think of the career path Meepo had. Every single club in the Premier League wanted to sign him when he was a kid. He could have went anywhere he wanted. And he went from Man City to United to West Ham. Then he went abroad, and it just didn't really work from anywhere. And I'd say that's a hard thing to deal with. I'd say he's looking around now going, jeez, I was in Carrington at one stage, or I was in, Man City's training ground, and I'm here. And that's not a knock on us. It's not a knock on the league. It's just, that's reality. Meepo was being touted to do incredible stuff as a kid. And maybe for whatever reason, it hasn't worked out. He's ended up back here, but I don't accept anyone having a pop at his work rate, or that he doesn't give a shit or anything like that, because it's just not true.
There have been times where his work rate hasn't been great, duty. There have been times, and it's probably pre-Joey coming in, where he'd come on and he'd look gassed after 5 minutes. But I do think it's maybe cumulative criticism, where people are judging everything he does based on something he did that annoyed them 6 months ago. I do think for the last few months, he's actually been very good. I don't think the criticism is at all fair. I think there have been times in the season, last season that is, where maybe the work rate and application wasn't as high as it should have been. And there were times where he wasn't happy last season, I'm sure. He's talked openly about being unhappy with game time at times or not playing. So maybe when he does come on, then subconsciously that filters through. So I'm not sure I'd say every single time he's covered himself in complete glory, but the general consensus and the amount of criticism he gets is not in any way compatible with how well he's done at times.
Fair. That's probably more level-headed there. Sorry, that happens to me every few episodes. I lose the plot a little bit, so apologies for that. But look,
Del Pico or Gemma Quinn.
That was Watford. It is a point in the board. We've obviously got a Dublin derby. Oh, we're not allowed to call it that, I don't think. Coming up this Friday. We'll get to that shortly. We'll do the other few bits and pieces first. So, have we got Richie Rankins? Did everyone remember their Richie Rankins?
The segment we do every week?
Yes. That's you saying no. It, don't. That's fire away.
Don't worry, I do have some.
Do you want me to go ahead, Ben, so that you have time to formulate, or do you have them in front of you?
No, I have them right up here. I'm pointing at my head for anyone that can't see me, which is no one. So for my Richie Baker, I've gone for Will Jarvis, funny enough, and it's not because he came back and this was great, and probably credit goes to Luke Byrne here as well. I don't know, you probably have seen on socials when Jarvis' announcement was up and he was announced he was coming back, there was a video up of a young lad crying. He was delighted he was back, and Luke Byrne arranged a little video call between himself and Jarvo. I think that's just a really, really nice thing to do, and I think it probably shows the togetherness in the club from the tippy top to the fans that come through the doors. There's a real sense of family and community there that I think we lacked for a long time, that we lost for a long time, and it's great to have that, I think.
100%.
And the name of that young man who was in tears was 35-year-old Darren Cleary.
I have a Richie Winder as well, if we can throw that out.
Yes, of course.
I've got a Richie Baker that I think is going to surprise you and create a bit of debate. I'm going to give it to Alan Reynolds.
For saying he shit himself?
Yeah, I thought it was brilliant. Like, it was just, you say it in your head, but you never say it out loud. And it was just, yeah, I should have brought him up, but I shit myself.
No, yeah, look, I can accept that. I'll allow that one slip. We don't usually allow any mention of there, but look, we'll let that one go. Daz, have you got Richie Winter?
I am going to give it to the Irish Press Corp in general, all of them collectively, because they are doing everything. It's gone very North Korea. They're trying to make you just really like games in the Aviva. Well,
oh, yeah, yeah. Mine is more specifically Dan McDonald, but go on, Richard. Continue.
Like, this... Stop trying to tell me this is a brilliant thing. It's failed because there's 13,000 people at less than there was the last time. 20k at League of Ireland game is great. Like, but stop saying that's the headline. The headline is there's 30,000 empty seats. 20k in a 50k is not this amazing success story that you think it is. Financially, it's pretty much break even from what I can gather from chatting to a few people. So it's not this massive money spinner fundraiser. Sure, isn't that great? It'll keep us going when we're out of Daily Mount. It actually won't. You've just given a home advantage. You've had one less game at your beloved Daily Mount to go to the Aviva and just about wash your face. So it's not this brilliant marketing thing that you want to be. It's not even a good spectacle. It's a shit game. There's no jeopardy. No one really wants to be there. Even the manager of the club who put it there is saying, probably would prefer it was in our own place. Think maybe we would have done better. Stop trying to make it a thing. It's not a thing. It's like, no.
Connor Parsons was dirt as well. I had a go of him was this.
I just think the Aviva's
first
the
episode last season duty.
Yeah, you did. You called him flop that season. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what did he do?
Yeah, not a whole lot. Made loads.
I give my Richie Winter.
You give your Richie Winter. Yeah.
Saw a video on Off the Ball that annoyed me, which happens a bit more often lately, because they. Sometimes with the guests that they have on, give some rogue opinions. I think it was Keith Tracy. Did anyone see that clip where he gives his ones to watch this season?
No,
he was asked about, I think it was the most exciting players to watch this season, and of all the exciting young players and exciting players we have in the league, he turns around and says, "Yeah, Pa Jam and the Waterford."
Oof, yeah, that's not great, is it?
He's going to score a lot of He's got to score a lot of goals, but I wouldn't really call him an exciting player to watch.
Yeah, that's Johnny Ward level stuff. My Richie Winter, I let slip there. It is Dan McDonnell. Reason being, it's very similar to what Dazzler says, and I think he is kind of the voice for everyone because he is probably streets ahead of all the other journalists, and they have by far the best League of Ireland podcast going. But today on that podcast, he was just... It's that same thing Dazzler's saying about, like, no, you're an idiot if you think, like, this isn't the best thing to happen. Where, like, there's plenty of opinions to be had on it. Like, you can be in a bit of both. Like, yeah, I get the whole thing. Like, it's both choice. Their home game, do what they want. I think the fact that they were willing to give up a home Dublin derby in their last season in this incarnation at Daily Mount was a bit silly. I wouldn't be into it myself. Did they make all that money off it? All that much money? I don't know. Don't really care either. I did have a pop off to Pats fans last week for being so against it. Going as the visiting team, I think it's a bit different. But yeah, this whole idea that, like, no, you're an idiot if you don't think this is great. The optics of it were pretty shit if you watched on the telly. My other argument would be, like, oh, it's a great facility and all. It is. Like, Lansdowne is great. It's a great place to, like, it's a great view. Facilities are great compared to what you get in the league. But if you're a Bulls fan there and you bring your two mates out of work and you bring your kids and you bring your wife to the game, if you somehow manage to get a ticket to Daily Mount, you have to bring them to that shitbox then. So, like, where's the... I get it, like, the appeal, but you're not able to offer those people anything similar for all the rest of your home games. So, I don't know. I can see the business and marketing reasons why you'd want your game in Daily Mount. That's fine. I see the reason. Yes, Ben.
For me, the people that fall in love with this league are the people that go to... Talk,
yes, that's what it's all about.
When they go and see these teams in these stadiums, there's just, I don't know, there's just, you're either completely engrossed and you love it and it's the best thing in the world and you come back every week. We've seen that with a lot of Shells fans. We've fans that travel in from England. We've Scottish Reds. Like, we've people that come from abroad to see the Reds every week.
100%. And, like,
and that didn't come from a game of the Aviva.
No, it was a horrific game of football. Now, look, that's neither here nor there. You can get terrible games anywhere. You can have a cup final, it's a terrible game. Like, it doesn't, you know, it shouldn't depend on the game itself. But even you take that 90 minutes of football and you plonk it into Daily Mount or you plonk it into Richmond or Talca, or I'm not going to say Talca because it's not true, Drogheda's ground, anywhere like that. And it's a better spectacle. Yeah, the facilities leave a lot to be desired, but I think you have a better chance of attracting the Joe Soap back if you give them the atmosphere. It's what the whole league's built on. But I think it is, anyway. That's what it's all about. It's like, Talk is not in the best nick, but people love it because it's like...
It's home.
Yeah, and it's the same reason people love Richmond, love Daily Mount, love Talla, love Oriel, wherever it might be. But I just...
Oh, not Oriel. Ding dong.
But I just... The attitude towards it from kind of media and journalists and stuff, I just think was very condescending. It was like, how do you idiots not understand how this is a good thing?
Why don't you like this thing we tell you have to like?
Precisely that. Precisely that. That brings me on then. Actually, did you see what happened with the pitch markings, which I enjoyed? Very funny.
This isn't rugby.
I love it, David. And I watched the first half of it. I went out on Sunday. Before I went out, I watched the first half and I was looking at the markings going, very faint. You can't really make out any of the pitch markings very well. And then when I heard the story, for anyone that didn't hear it, they basically marked the pitch wrong. It was the wrong dimensions, so they had to do the whole thing again in the rain. Hence the shit markings. I did ask on Instagram, do you ever want Shells to host a game in Lansdowne? 67% said absolutely not. 21% said would be happy to go as the away team. And only 12, a meager 12% said, yes, absolutely, take the money. Where do we stand on it? Would we be happy to be gone as the visiting team?
No, I don't think so. Like, I the time we had the cup final, I loved everything about that day. I know we got hammered in the cup final, but it was still a beautiful day, and you felt the occasion, and I felt something where you were genuinely proud to be there, and like seeing your team in Lansdowne Road on cup final day. Like, dude, I know you said there can be shit cup finals, but at least cup final has jeopardy. At least something happens at the end of it. Like, at the full time whistle the other day, like, the only interesting thing that happened that whole game was Gav White chasing Joseph Anang around, try and get him, like, as Joseph Anang just tried to deliberately get away from Gav White, who I'm sure lots of people in his life have probably done. I digress. No, for me, I would, if there's like a real big merit on it, and if, you know, it's, if someone tells me this buys a new training pitch or this does this, I'd say, yeah, I can see the business side of it. The head says, okay, but the heart probably isn't in it for me.
I'd be similar. Now, I'd still go to the game. It's not going to stop me going, like, in any way, shape or form, but I'm a big believer in the Aviva should be cup final. Strictly cup final only. Yes. Getting to this Friday. Dublin Derby. Well, we're not allowed to call it that, so we'll call it Ringsend Derby. Will that keep all the weird ex-trolls happier?
No, they'll still give out about that because neither of us playing Ringsend anymore.
Fuck it, right. Dublin Derby. Dazzler. Dublin Rings. Now I'm confused.
Dublin, come on, Ringsend. You bent my duty.
Favourite Shamrock Rover game memories?
The one last year where they had literal champagne on ice is up there. That was a bit of a bonker situation. Was that 1-0?
Kerr McEnroy?
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah, that was great. I love that game. And, Dudy, when you gave us a slight nod about 20 minutes before recording, I hope I'm ready to prepare this. That was the first one that came to mind because you have obviously Tala, lovely facilities, lovely media room, but as you come in and go to the left, they did like genuine boxes of champagne piled up. Like, all right, lads, fair enough.
Yeah, they of course will argue they ultimately had the last laugh, which they did, but still, that was very satisfying. Very, very satisfying.
We got the laugh first.
Yeah, mine's a bit, I'm going back a bit further from my one because I don't know why, but it's just, if I think of Rovers, I always think of this game. And there's a few kind of things around it. We bet them 2-1 in the cup in, it was the year after we won the cup. 2012. Sorry, the year after we got beaten in the final of the cup. 2012, 2-1, home to Rovers. Philly Hughes' header to put us 2-0 up. It's one of my favourite Tolka memories I've ever had. It's just, it's everything about it. The cross is so good. It's a typical Philly Hughes goal. The stampede down the steps of the new stand. Oh, it's just perfect. Rovers were in dire straits at the time. They had only sacked Stephen Kenny, which is funny. Just
Dennis the Menace.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah, that's, I think that could be my favourite Rovers memory. Although all those recent ones we've had have been amazing. I'm a sucker for a bit of looking back, so that's the one I'm going with. And also, a little fun fact about that game. Dazzler, a young Sean Gannon pulled one back for them in stoppage time. Do you remember that?
Was Sean Gannon the one who pulled one back
for them? Yes, yeah, he did indeed in stoppage time. Just because we were right still in that Shells era of, this is going to go belly up here. And who would have thought it? Sean Gannon coming back to put the best cross of the night in on Friday and win a league and shut up all the people who thought he was finished. What a guy is right.
The recent memories are pretty nice. Like the I always look back at the 2-0 to Jarvis penalties one as like, that was a big moment. I think that was the moment in 24 where I was like, we might win this. We might win this whole thing.
It did. And it gave that feeling, didn't it?
Yeah. It felt like one where you can actually start believe a bit. Like, that would have been early enough in the season, but also not too early. I think it was the summer, was it? June?
Yeah, it was definitely June. Warm.
Yeah, because he was gone, but he was gone by July, wasn't he?
It was 24th of May, I think.
Yeah, that was a great one. And just the way he sauntered around afterward, like the slowest celebration ever. It was like, oh, run around, my fingers out.
I love as well, actually, the Matty Smith goal in Talat is always one. One, because Matty didn't have too many great moments with us. He should have had more. But he was very, very popular, especially with us. The finish was amazing. The pass from Jack Moylan was just...
It was goal of the season that year.
Oh, it was. The pass. Moylan's pass was just perfect. Matty didn't have to break stride even just to slot it home. Unbelievable. We've had some good times against Rovers, actually.
Shane Farrell scored the first goal there in that game, didn't he?
Oh, Jesus. I don't know. My memory is absolutely horrendous, Dazzler. I couldn't tell
you. Was that 2-2 draw? It was, wasn't it?
I don't know.
That was the game we lost 3-2 and I got started on by a ref a few months later when I asked why he gave a corner kick.
Well, that was your own fault.
Correct.
Was it 2-1 as well in 24 in Talca? Coyle and Jarvis scored one from a Connor Kearns goal kick.
Oh, that was magic.
Yeah, Coyle scored a cracker, didn't he? His goal was a cracker.
Into the Rovers end, into the Ballybock end.
Yeah, we were...
When Leon Poles didn't have any arms when he was trying to save anything.
Correct, yeah, correct. Like a blame bidet in the goal. Rovers. Record Rovers, we were like very neck and neck. Two draws and we had a win and a loss. So, yeah, I think it's set up to be a good one Friday. It's a nice game to start with in Talca, I think. You want the proper buzz. You want like a proper game as the first one back. Can we see anyone dipping out of the starting 11 from Friday?
Ben, just that 2-1 game was when you went on holiday.
Oh, I'm just a piece of shit. Just don't mind me.
No, it's only because... Sorry, Judy. I'll get to you. And now on to the Liars. Ben, that was the time you went away and then you came back and like everything in the football club fell apart without you.
Yeah, I don't like talking about that. I ruined Shelburne for a lot of people. They just don't know it yet.
Remember going home with Duty after that game being like, Jesus, there was an awful lot of head loss.
Wait, which was this now? What?
The 2-1 Rovers game just before the 1-0 Derry game.
Oh, Jesus, yeah. Oh, you got shouted at outside the tunnel that day, didn't you?
Many times.
Right, anyway, Friday, Ben, can you see anyone dropping out at starting 11 from Friday, or will we be as was?
I don't know. I'm not paying enough to predict any starting lineups. It's full game.
It's stupid. All I will predict is a Meepo goal. That's all I'm going to predict.
I think Harry Wood goal.
Oh, hopefully. I'd like to see that.
Bring out the worm. Or I hear he has a new celebration in the works.
Oh, fuck's sake. What, you won't score for 3 months now? Anyway, on that bombshell, thank you both for giving up your evening, as usual.
Thank you, Duty. You didn't ask me who would be on my team, so I'm not going to tell you.
Well, you said earlier on it was pointless, so...
But maybe he picked his own team. He hasn't written out, Duty. You just avenged.
Oh, smart hole. Come on, give me your starting 11 for Friday. Let's see how wrong you are, you idiot.
Wow. Spiel. Caffrey. Barrett. Casey. Kelly.
You're talking absolute shite here. Go on.
Henry Francis. McEnroy. Wood, Martin, Meepo.
You've missed a player, I think. Yeah. You've only put 10 out there.
That's okay. Someone at the club has done that before.
I forgot Cam.
Right.
Cam Ledridge will also play.
Yeah, right. We'll come back next week to laugh at you.
If you correct, we'll look like idiots. So either way, we get a laugh.
Exactly. Thanks, man.
Thanks, Duty.
Somebody say it.
Up the Reds.
Thanks for listening to the 1895 podcast, the official podcast of Shelburne FC, Dublin's finest since 1895. Don't forget to give us a 5-star rating on Apple or Spotify and subscribe now to never miss a new episode. Yeah!